Amen. It would be wrong for me to have a Bible conference without you opening a Bible. So I want you to take your Bible, and if you don't have one, if you didn't bring one, they sell them on the table out here, all right? I was going to say get one out of the pews there, but we've got some nice Bibles for sale back there, so you ought to get you one, all right? And I want you to turn to two places in your Bible. I want you to turn to John chapter 15, first of all, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I want you to just kind of keep your Bible just kind of like this. We're going to look at a couple of concepts, a couple of ideas, a couple of things in the Bible that's going to, as I'm going to show you some things tonight, it's going to make sense. Now, one of the things that Chris did in his presentations in Fargo, Moorhead, Minnesota last year, was he showed some information, and I think he's going to do this week. He showed some information about why the new translations are significantly different than the King James. They are significantly different than the Bishop's Bible that came before the King James, the Geneva Bible, the Tyndale Bible, Wycliffe's Bible. They are significantly different than Martin Luther's Bible. They are significantly different than former translations of the Bible before the King James. He shows why they are, and it has to do with the manuscripts that are used. And he's going to show you the information, but I'm going to make it very simple for you tonight. On the one hand, let's say on my left hand, you have two, what I believe within my heart, manufactured manuscripts of the New Testament called the Vaticanus, comes from the Vatican Library, and the Sinaiticus, all right? And he's got some outstanding information on that. These are manuscripts that, according to the scholars, date back to around 300 A.D. Now, there's a huge question mark on the Sinaiticus, and I hope he's going to show that this week, all right? But those are the two Greek manuscripts of the New Testament that are the basis for the new American Standard Bible, New International Version Bible, which I don't know if you know this or not. The New International Version Bible that is out right now is the gender-neutral Bible. It is. It is the one where they've neutered God. Is what they've done. So the NIV, the New American Standard, the Revised Standard, the English Standard Version, the Holman Christian Standard Version, which is the Southern Baptist's own Bible version, the reason why they're so significantly different is because they're based upon primarily two Greek manuscripts, that these two manuscripts disagree with each other in the four Gospels over 3,000 times. Just in the four Gospels. Okay? Then you have, on the right hand, you have what he was talking about. Erasmus, who learned Greek, studied Greek, spoke Greek, codified the Greek text, took these over 5,000 whole or partial Greek manuscripts of the New Testament. That whole group is called the majority text. It's called the majority text because there's more of them than there are the critical text, which is the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus. So over 5,000 Greek texts over here that agree with each other some 98% of the time. And even in the places where they disagree, it's like I explained yesterday on Pastor Mike Online. Me saying the Word was God and me saying God was the Word. Now, have I said the same thing? Yes. In English, I've said God was the Word or the Word was God. I've said the exact same thing. Even though you would say that that is a slight difference in how I said it, I've essentially said the same thing. And so the differences in the 5,000, in the majority text, the differences are that minor in those 5,000 whole or partial Greek manuscripts. All right? So the bottom line is, one group of texts says one thing, one group of texts says something entirely different. All right? So let's see that now in our Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want you to look at verse 31. The Bible says, "For their rock is not as our rock." Notice the second rock there is capitalized. Our rock is who?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. He is the rock. All right? The stone that the builders disallowed. Okay, the chief cornerstone. Their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Now, verse 32. "For their vine is the vine of Sodom." And I want you to remember that. Very important. "Their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. The grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter." So therefore, because their vine is the vine of Sodom, their wine is the poison of who? Dragons. "And the cruel venom of asps is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures." So we have a vine being described by Moses as being a vine of Sodom, and the grapes and the wine that that vine produces is poison. It's the poison of dragons. And we know who the dragon is in the Bible. We know the dragon is the serpent, that old devil, Satan. Okay? I like that you brought up the old deluder Satan law, because that was the whole basis of the American educational system. Was we're going to build schools and we're going to teach kids how to read the Bible so that Satan cannot deceive our children. Wow, I love that. Then, John 15. Remember, just kind of hold on to your Bible like this. Keep it like this. John chapter 15. Hunter says amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine." Notice we already have a contrast. We have a contrast back here in Deuteronomy 32 that the wine of the vine of Sodom is poison. Dragon's poison. Meaning it's full of lies. Where does the serpent's poison come from? Its mouth. It's coming out of their mouth. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my" what?
Words
"abide in you." And notice that earlier he said, "If ye abide in me, and I abide in you." Now in verse 7, he's saying, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you." I just spent 2 hours today recording a new Watchman broadcast, going to come out Sunday. And I spent 2 hours showing you that every attribute in the Bible, where the Bible speaks concerning Jesus, the Bible says the exact same thing about the Word of God. And notice in this passage here, Jesus said, "If I abide in you," and then he says, "If my words abide in you." You see how they are the same? Jesus is the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? So, now, who is the true vine? Everybody said, that was your cue. Let me try this again. Who is the true vine?
Jesus.
So then, who would be the false vine? Another Jesus. Another Jesus. Always accompanies another spirit, and it always accompanies another what?
Gospel.
Okay? So, we've established two things in here. Number one, that there is a Greek manuscript line that supports all the modern translations. Okay? That's a vine. We have a Greek manuscript line that supports the King James, the Geneva, the Bishops, the Tyndale, Erasmus text, all the way, Martin Luther, all the way down to the originals. That's a vine. So So what I'm going to show you tonight is I'm going to show you the difference between the vine of Christ and the vine of Sodom. All right? This question came up to me several years ago because, as you remember, I grew up in this church. All I heard from this pulpit was preaching from a King James Bible. I then, the way Chris was talking tonight, I'm shaking my head going, oh my goodness, I think I went to the Pope's Bible College. Because I heard from two different Bible colleges exactly what he said. They taught me that my King James had errors in it. It had mistakes in it, and I couldn't trust it. And I had one professor that was constantly pointing out textual variants between versions, between Greek manuscripts. So in my mind, all I'm hearing for 3 years, I dropped out of two Bible colleges, by the way. All I heard for 3 years was, we can't know exactly what God said. That's what I heard. So that carried with me when I got out of Bible college and was married and pastored my first church. That was with me, and it produced some pretty rotten results. And so one day, God dealt with me about this issue, and I began to look at the difference between the translations. Is there a difference between the King James, the modern translation? Some would say, well, the modern translations, all they did was update the language. That is a lie. It's a lie. They did something to the text. In some cases, they significantly altered the text of the Bible. In many cases, they simply took things out. And that's what I'm going to show you. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like as the fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, by the way, that's one of those things. You remember how Jesus said, I am the stone that if you fall on me, you know, you'll be broken, but if I fall on you, you'll be crushed? Notice this. The word of God here is what breaks things in pieces, and so does Jesus break things in pieces. I'm telling you, they're both the same. Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. And what I'm going to show you tonight is stolen words. Someone in a Bible that I used to read, in fact, I still have it, a Bible that I used to read called the New International Version of the Bible, someone stole words out of that Bible. Took them out. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word. That's what he does. Okay? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Does it matter if Satan comes to your Bible and only takes out one word? Does it matter? Sure it does. And I'm going to show you, because he said, Satan taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it doesn't matter if the devil takes away the entire Bible or he simply takes away one word. Okay? But that's what he does. He takes away words. So, on one side we have a vine. It's a line of manuscripts that underlies the King James Version. On the other side we have another vine, a line of manuscripts that underlies the modern translations of the Bible. One of them is the vine of Sodom. One of them is the vine of Christ. Now, I've already got it set in my mind. I already know which one is which. But I'm going to let you make the decision tonight. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Luke 11, and don't bother trying to turn to all these in your Bible because I'm going to move through these very quickly. Luke 11, verse 2, he saith unto him, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, as in heaven, so on earth. And I want you to notice that the phrase, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth, is underlined. The reason why I have that underlined that in is that in the King James, this vine over here, that's intact and has been intact. It's in the Greek manuscript. It was in the Bishop's Bible, the Geneva's Bible, it's in Luther's Bible, it was in the old Gothic Bible, but it's been omitted out of the modern translations. They took out, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. That's been taken out of the modern translations of the Bible. It's been omitted. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What's been underlined has been omitted out of the modern translations. They took it out. So which is the vine of Christ, the vine of Sodom? So what we have here, we have the prayer that Jesus taught us in Luke, and that same prayer in Matthew, and both of them have been attacked by Satan, who taketh away the word. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's been underlined was taken out. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, taken out. Look at this. Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. That entire verse has been omitted out of all the modern translations. The only other witness to the verse, the teaching on prayer and fasting, in Mark 9:29, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. And fasting has been omitted from that verse. So both witnesses in the modern trend, in the King James, where it says that devils can be run out by prayer and fasting, that's been omitted in all of the modern translations of the Bible. And I had a man in Gainesville, Missouri, preaching a revival down there, argued with me and asked me why I believe the idiocy that demons go out by prayer and fasting. I said, because that's what the Bible says. He said, no, that was added by the King James translators. No, it wasn't. It was taken out. The vine of Sodom, you will not learn that this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In fact, look at how fasting has been attacked in the modern translations. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. That's been omitted out of the modern translations. They took the word fasting out. 1 Corinthians 7:5, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Fasting has been omitted. 2 Corinthians 6:5, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. That was taken out of the modern translations. 2 Corinthians 11:27, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often. That's been, all the underlying words that I have up on the screen were taken out by the vine of Sodom. Omitted. Satan taketh away the word. And the pastors have stolen the words from God's people. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Omitted. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Those have been omitted. Satan takes away the word, and the pastors have stolen the words from God's people. Matthew 18:11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That entire verse has been omitted. Why? Because it wasn't found in the Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus. Okay? Those two manuscripts that practically every modern scholar, most Bible colleges and seminaries believe that the Vaticanus and the Sinaiticus are the best reliable manuscripts, and they don't like the King James Bible anymore because they believe it's based upon faulty manuscripts. Okay? Satan taketh away the word. Matthew 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. What was it that John Wycliffe saw among the Roman Catholic priests that he despised? Because the Catholic priests were taking widows' houses for indulgences, or to say masses for their lost dead husbands to get them out of purgatory. And that verse, the entire verse, Satan took it out. And the pastors have stolen it from the Word. Mark 10:21. Take up the cross and follow me. Take up the cross has been omitted. This works well in American churches where cross-bearing has been done away with. We don't want to sacrifice in America. We want God to make us wealthy and healthy. But we don't want to suffer anything for the cause of Christ. And my heart broke when I heard about the Rwandan massacre, the Christians. My heart breaks when I hear and remember those Protestants who stood against Rome because they would not bow to the Pope of Rome and they lost their lives because of it. They took up their cross and they followed Jesus. Take up the cross has been omitted. Satan took it out. Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That entire verse has been omitted. Now, one of the things that I was told in two Bible colleges was that, yes, there are variations in the manuscripts. Yes, there are differences in the text, but none of these differences alter any major point of doctrine. That's what I was told. But I'm going to ask you again the question. Is it okay for the devil to take one word out of the Bible? It's not okay. It's not okay for the devil to take prayer and fasting out of the Word of God, and yet that's what he's done. How will, Chris mentioned these young seminarians coming out of the seminaries and the Bible colleges, not even believing in the Word of God anymore, much less being able to teach their people how to deal with satanic attacks in their homes, in their lives, in their families. They don't know how to do it. They don't know how to pray and fast in order to do this kind of spiritual warfare. So what do you think the devil is going to do to these homes and to these churches? The same thing he's done to our nation. He just walks right in the door. He's taken over because prayer and fasting has been omitted. These verses are taken out. Mark 6:11. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That has been stolen out of the Bible. Modern translations have omitted that. Mark 15:28. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Omitted. Taken out. Satan stole the doctrine that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy that he was numbered with the transgressors. Don't tell me that no major doctrine is affected by these omissions. Don't tell me that lie. I don't believe it. I used to believe it. I left Bible colleges believing that lie. I don't believe that lie anymore. They altered the text of the Word of God. Somebody, at some point, didn't like the fact that Jesus fulfilled prophecy. And so when they copied their Greek text, they just left it out. They took it out. They stole it from God's people. Luke 23:38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. The phrase in letters of Greek, Latin and Hebrew, that's been taken out of your modern translations of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So what if I take out the words for us? I've altered the meaning of that verse. Why was Christ sacrificed? According to the modern translations, you don't know why Christ was sacrificed in this verse. It just simply said, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed. But the King James tells you he was sacrificed for us. Amen? Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. In the modern translations, they removed Holy Ghost and replaced it with Spirit. What Spirit? Another Spirit. Thank you, brother. Another Spirit. Now, think about this. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is the unforgivable sin. It's the one that if you commit it, you cannot go to heaven. You cannot be forgiven. That doctrine has been omitted from the modern translations of the Bible. Satan took away the Word. Is that okay? I mean, we're only talking about one Word, right? It's not okay. Mark 9:44 and Mark 9:46, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know what else I know about these seminaries and these new pastors coming on the scene? Not only do they favor sodomite marriage, not only do they not believe the Bible, they don't teach hell right either. They don't teach it right. Okay? Both these verses have been omitted from the modern translations of the Bible. This verse, Luke 17:36, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. That's been omitted. Taken out of the Scriptures. Luke 11:54, laying wait for him and seeketh to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. The phrase that they might accuse him has been omitted. Luke 22:64, they struck him on the face. That has been omitted. Is it okay that these have been taken out of the Bible? No, it's not okay. And Philip, Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts. I want you to examine this. Let's look at our Bibles and see what difference it makes. All right? And again, we have the vine of Christ in all of the Greek manuscripts and all of the Bibles that are based upon either the majority text or the Textus Receptus. The King James, the Geneva, going on, Tyndale, going all the way back, all of these have Acts chapter 8, verse 37 in it. Okay? So when we examine the Scriptures in Acts chapter 8, when we look, I like teaching people how to read the Bible. And the Bible gives you the rules. One of them is, walk circumspectly. Circum means circle. Spect is what we do with our eyes. And it means looking around. So if you're going to read a verse in the Bible, you know how false prophets work. They'll give you a piece of a verse, or maybe a verse, but they'll do it out of context, and they'll teach you a false doctrine based upon a partial understanding of what the Bible actually means. So I tell people, instead of reading one verse, look around that verse. Go back before that verse and then read what comes after that verse. So let's do that with Acts chapter 8, verse 37. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, this is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now let's skip to verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The eunuch asked, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? If we omit verse 37, the answer is nothing. Which means, and see, Rome loves this, we can baptize people whether they believe or not, and they'll go to heaven because we baptized them. So we can baptize babies. And now babies will go to heaven because we baptized them, even though they didn't believe in anything. So the eunuch says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said it right. If thou believest with all thine heart. Because our salvation is not of the works of baptism. It is the hearing of faith. So, does it make a difference? Does it affect a major doctrine of the Bible? Amen. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those words in underline have been omitted out of the vine of Sodom. Vine of Sodom took them out. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Notice this. Deuteronomy 32:22, Job 26:6, Proverbs 23:14, Proverbs 27:20, Isaiah 28:18, and Isaiah 57:9. I want you to remember those verses. Lowest hell. Hell is naked before them. Deliver his soul from hell. Hell and destruction are never full. Agreement with hell. Didst debase thyself even unto hell. All of those places where the word hell is mentioned, in the modern translation, especially the NIV, they've replaced it either with the dead or the realm of the dead. The realm of the dead is the grave. If you go over here to this cemetery over here in Crystal City, that is the realm of the dead. That's where they all are. But it's not hell. I got something else to show you here in a little bit. Revelation 21:24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Of them which are saved has been omitted out of the vine of Sodom. The vine of Christ, the true vine, still has it. Galatians 4:7, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The NIV replaced that with through God. Replaced it. Ephesians 3:9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's been omitted. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase has been omitted. John 9:35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? The NIV calls him the Son of Man. Not the Son of God. Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's been omitted. Do you see here a consistency in the attack on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ? Acts 3:13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son. The NIV replaces that with servant. Jesus, whom He delivered up. Acts 3:26, unto you first, having raised up God, having raised up His Son. Again, the NIV replaces Son with servant. Why did they do that? Because that's what the vine of Sodom said. Luke 2:33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. The NIV calls him his father and mother. Joseph, newsflash for you. CNN has just reported that Joseph is not the father of Jesus Christ. But according to the vine of Sodom, where the poison of dragons is, they call him his father and his mother. Meaning that God is not Jesus' father. Look at this. Job 11:8, 2 Samuel 22:6, Psalm 9:17, Psalm 16:10, Psalm 18:5, Psalm 55. You can see the list here. All of these verses in the NIV have replaced the word hell with either grave, Hades, or realm of the dead. Out of 54 occurrences of the word hell in the King James Bible, the NIV only lists 13. You can check this out. Go to blueletterbible.org, blueletterbible.org. Switch the search engine to NIV and search for the word hell. You can count 13 times only where the NIV used the word hell. The rest of the time, they replaced it with grave or Hades or realm of the dead. But not hell. the New King James Bible, brother. See, I caught your little joke here. He said, we're selling new King James Bibles. No, you're not. The New King James Bible. Out of 54 occurrences of the word hell, they replaced it 22 times with either Hades or Sheol. But not hell. Up here at the top of the hill, Chris, I better not catch you up there tonight. There's a little tavern up here called the Smokehouse. Okay? Chris is borrowing my car for the week. If I see my car up there, if you go up here to the Smokehouse up here, to that crowd up there, and ask them, does anybody here want to go to Sheol? They'll ask you, where is that? Is that down by Piedmont? Potosi? Is that down by Fredericktown? Yeah, my daddy used to go down there all the time. They have no idea what it is. If you go up here to the bar and ask them about hell, they'll know what it is. Don't tell me that Satan can take out one word and it's okay. What if that word that he took out is hell? Does it make a difference? Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's been omitted. John 16, a little while and you shall not see me, and again, a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. That's been omitted. I mean, think about these verses without these parts in it and the significance that it plays. John 3:13, and no man ascended hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Omitted. Taken out. God's name, Jehovah. God's name, Jehovah. The King James Bible is the only Bible that has God's name, Jehovah, in it. Seven times, by the way. See, I like that. Amen? Seven times it's in there. Okay? The New King James, the NIV, the New American Standard, the Holman Christian Standard Version, the Message. Oh, I don't know what the Message Bible says. All of them have taken out God's name, Jehovah, and replaced it with, like, the Lord or something like that. Now, I did a thing on this a couple weeks ago. Look at all the verses in the Bible where it talks about the name of the Lord and how God chose to put His name in a certain place. It looks to me like God chose to put His name here. But He did not choose to put His name in the NIV. The Vine of Sot, you don't find it in there. Matthew 27:35. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture they did cast lots. Again, here is Christ on the cross, and there is another prophecy that was spoken of in the Old Testament that, according to the Vine of Sodom, remains unfulfilled. He was numbered with the transgressors, and they parted My garments among them and cast lots for His vesture. They took that out. An unfulfilled prophecy. Now, let me show you the significance of that. The significance is, in Deuteronomy 18, the question was asked, how shall we know whether or not a prophet has spoken by the word of the Lord? And the answer back was, if that prophet speaks, and that sign or that thing does not come to pass, then God said, you don't have to fear that prophet. He's not My prophet. And twice now, the prophets have spoke, and the new translations have omitted the fulfillment of that prophecy. Mark 3:15, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. That first part's been omitted. Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That verse, the entire verse, has been omitted. Luke 9:55, but He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What's underlined has been omitted. Luke 9:56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. The first part of that verse has been omitted, taken out of the vine of Sodom. John 5:4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Water in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. John 5:4, the entire verse has been omitted out of the modern translations of the Bible, the vine of Sodom. Romans 16:24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That verse has been omitted. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Of Christ has been omitted. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's been omitted. Revelation 1:11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. That's been omitted. Do you see the consistency here? They're targeting the deity of Jesus Christ. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Who is that Lion of the tribe of Judah? Who is it? It's Jesus, isn't it? Why then, in 1 Peter 5:8, is the devil seen as a roaring lion? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion. What is he doing? He's trying to appear to be Jesus. Remember the two vines? Vine of Christ, the vine of Sodom. How would you be able to know the difference if, according to 1 Peter 5:8, you were not sober? You wouldn't be able to tell the difference, would you? So, here we have two Bibles, the King James and a modern translation. One of them is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. One of them appears to be the roaring lion. Which one's true and which one's not? Isaiah 14, look at this. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Who's he trying to appear to be as? Ezekiel 28. I am God. I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. 2 Thessalonians 2. So that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And if you don't know the truth, you will be deceived into thinking that Satan is God or Jesus Christ. And he's not. That roaring lion will devour you. He'll destroy you. By the way, I will be like the Most High, right? How art thou fallen from heaven, O who?
Lucifer.
King James says Lucifer. The NIV says Morning Star in that same passage. Calls Lucifer the Morning Star. And yet the King James says, I am the Root and the Offspring of David and the Bright and Morning Star. Morning Star. Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And yet the NIV calls him a son of the gods. There isn't a modern translation that accurately depicts who was in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Only the King James identifies him as the Son of God. Deuteronomy 23:17, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now let's identify the vine of Sodom and the vine of Christ. The vine of Christ says that there shall be no Sodomite of the sons of Israel. The NIV says no Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute. Which one's the vine of Sodom? 1 Kings 14:24, and there were also Sodomites in the land. And yet the NIV says there were even male shrine prostitutes in the land. Which vine is the vine of Sodom? The one that tries to hide the Sodomites. 1 Kings 15:12, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land. The NIV says he expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. Trying to hide the Sodomites. 1 Kings 22:46, and the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. The NIV says He rid the land of the rest of the male shrine prostitutes. In fact, every place where the word sodomite was used in the King James, it's been changed in the Vine of Sodom. Every place. They didn't leave one intact. 2 Kings 23:7, the houses of the sodomites. He tore also down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes. Every single place. They transformed it. Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now notice that in the King James it describes a singular act. The singular act of lying with mankind is an abomination. So how many times do you have to commit sodomy in order for it to be an abomination? The NIV calls it sexual relations. It's plural. It infers an ongoing relationship. According to the modern Bibles, only that's bad. If you allow it to go on. They don't even believe that anymore. Now here's why I get so picky on this. Here's the rules. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord. Deuteronomy 12:32, what things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Jeremiah 26:2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not. How many words? Not a word. The commandment from God is that there is to not be taken out one single word. Not one. So man and the scholars say, yes, there are differences in the text. We believe the Sinaitic and Septuagint are superior Greek texts, but they don't affect any doctrine. They admit that there are words taken out, and yet God said, don't take out a single word. So who do you believe? You believe God? Or are you going to believe men? Which is it? Revelation 22:18, the very last thing. The New Testament is a covenant. It's a contract. If you've ever signed a contract, who in here has ever signed a contract? A 5-page contract is a 5-page contract. Once it's signed, and you always sign it at the end of the contract, nobody is stupid enough. Well, maybe nobody's stupid enough. Congress is stupid enough to vote for a health care bill that they never read. Most people are not stupid enough to sign a contract at the top or the first page of the contract. You sign the contract at the end because that stipulates that there is not to be any... In fact, in the contract itself, if that contract is done right, it will stipulate that nothing outside of the boundaries of these 5 pages can be added without consent. Nothing can be added after that. Even oral agreements after a written contract cannot nullify the written contract. They get thrown out in court. So at the end of your contract with God, it stipulates, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's very plain and it's very simple. At one time, I was guilty, brother, of giving consent, and I did it myself, of taking things out of the Word of God. God took a rod and chastised me, got me to where I would listen to Him, and then He very softly and gently corrected me and said, Mike, my Bible is pure. Believe every word of it and quit taking away from it. And I repented. I've repented every day since then that I ever did that. And my encouragement to you is tonight, Chris, outstanding information. Brother, I forgot about you. I want to get you up here in a minute. In fact, come up here so I don't forget. Brother Dennis, come up here. Okay? My encouragement, this man, I love how he showed up here. It's like we opened the door and a Bible salesman fell in. Okay? He's here because he heard from James Waymire that we believe the King James Bible. Out here on the table, he's got brand new King James Bibles, meaning they haven't been used before. But he believes, I believe, that every word of God is pure. And we are now living in the days that old preachers preached about when they saw these new Bibles coming in. They warned of the very day that you and I are living in. Did they not?
Yes.
They warned of it. And we're now living in the days where the fruit of the vine of Sodom can be seen now on the vine. And that fruit is about ready to come to fruition. We're about ready to see, Chris, we're about ready to see the birth of that child that you and I talked about at dinner. The man of sin, the son of perdition. And he'll be brought in by a different vine. If you believe God's word tonight, say amen. Brother Dennis, come up here and tell everybody. Let me give you my microphone. Tell everybody who you are, how you ended up here, and what.
Can I have equal time?
No. No.
Some time.
Yeah, I'll give you some time. Thank you. And he'll be back tomorrow night too. And his website. Nick, put his website up on the screen.
It's one of my Bibles.
Huh?
It's one of my Bibles.
Is that one of your Bibles?
It is.
It is. You know what? Somebody sent that to me. So there you go. I'm using. Hey. I'm a spokesman. This man's Bible's right here.
I'm here by divine intervention.
Amen.
It was no accident. And I've been involved in the scripture ministry for the past 35 years. And a number of years ago, God pointed me towards producing the whole Bible. For years, and it still is, the thrust of our ministry is producing Bible portions in foreign languages, shipping them free of charge to missionaries all over the world. Last Wednesday, we just shipped a full container out of our parking lot over here at Second Baptist. And in about 3 months, we're going to ship another container to Kenya. And so we ship all over the world. The one we just shipped out was the 58th container. Okay, now, everything this brother here in the back said, I need to comment on that, is the truth.
Amen.
And you need to understand this history because it relates to where we're at today.
Amen.
And everything your pastor said was truth.
Amen.
We've been studying this subject, but I want to take just a few minutes and add some more to what they've said. And it'll only take a little bit of time, and I want you to look at your Bibles. Not if you got one of my Bibles. If you got one of my Bibles, don't look at it. Look at a different one. But Satan is subtle.
Amen.
And your pastor said it's not okay to change one word.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you tonight, it's not okay to change one letter.
Amen.
Or take a letter out of a word.
Amen.
We cannot have an accurate Bible if we Americanize it.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? We in America think we're smart. If we're so smart, sometimes we're dumb.
Amen?
Amen? Look in your Bible tonight to Luke 2:11, show you one word that had a letter taken out that means all the difference in the world. And you can discover this when you start looking in the proper dictionary. But in Luke 2:11, the Bible says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
Amen.
That's what it's supposed to say. But now look at that word Savior very closely. Take the letter U out of the word. Does it say the same thing? Well, it says the same thing, but it don't mean the same thing. And when you look in what's called the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary of the English Language, and it defines the word Savior that's got seven letters in it, and it defines Savior with six letters in it. Six is the number of who? Man. Seven is perfection. Christ. Amen? So, the six-letter spelling, the definition in the dictionary is one who saves, preserves, or delivers from destruction or danger. That can be any one of us. But that seven-letter spelling is defined as Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who's called the Savior by way of distinction. There can only be one, not many. Interesting, huh? You see, this is some of the things why God threw me into getting the Bible into the hands of God's people. And American publishers are taking liberties to change this book, and most people don't even know it. And the verse was quoted tonight, I believe I heard it, about 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. It said something to the effect, let me find it so I read it right. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Folks, we do have a God-breathed book.
Amen.
It is the inspired Word of God. Okay, and it goes on to read then in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's what the book says. But the publishers have added an extra O, or the letter O, in that word thoroughly, to make it read thoroughly. Thoroughly is not the right word. Thoroughly is. Thoroughly is all over the outside of an item. But thoroughly is in. It's inner. Complete. In Psalm 51, verse 2, after David's ordeal with Bathsheba, he, in his prayer, said in verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. But the Bibles are saying, wash me thoroughly. See, the devil is subtle. But this is not just a problem in the English Bible. Let me show you Romans 1:16. The pastor mentioned it tonight on the screen, and it said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But look at those two little words there, of Christ. In the modern Spanish Bible that most missionaries use today, those two words, of Christ or de Cristo, are taken out of the verse. They say it means the same thing. I say it doesn't. I'm saying, didn't the Apostle Paul preach against another gospel? So this would fit, if you take the two words out, for another gospel. So you see, just little subtle things like that make all the difference in the world. In Revelation 22:14, in the Spanish Bible, in our English Bible, it says, it said, let me read it. I just had it on the tip of my tongue, but I don't want to mess it up. And these are the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. Revelation 22:14 said, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Take that word commandments out of that verse and replace it with the word ropas. Ropas. That's clothing. Blessed are they that wash their robes or clothing. What does that have to do with commandments? Sounds kind of Catholic-y to me, doesn't it? Yeah. What about 1 Peter 2:1? As newborn babes, they desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. Take that word thereby out and just put salvation there. That ye may grow unto salvation.
No. You're right.
That's not right, but that's how it is in the Spanish Bible. Okay, so that's works.
I think that follows the 93.
So you see, the Lord put us in a ministry that's very needful in this day and age. I wouldn't recommend anybody buying a Bible from a bookstore anymore today, in this day and age, because you don't know what's changed and what's not changed.
Amen.
And so the Lord opened up the avenue for me to start church Bible publishers. Anything we have on the table can be ordered online in the month of May and June. Graduation sale, you'll receive some discounts, and that's how we do it. The Bible bindery that we used to use, was at one time located in Woodstock, Vermont. And that bindery was a mom and pop shop that was in business for 75 years. But because of outsourcing, you know what that term is about. Well, it put that shop out of business. The owner called me one day and said, would you consider buying our bindery and move it to Michigan? We talked about it, prayed about it. He wanted $126,000 for it, and we ended up crunching numbers. The Lord gave that to us for $20,000. And then they took my son and daughter-in-law to Vermont and trained them for 3 weeks how to do the bindery work. And you can see that bindery now online at churchbiblepublishers.com. Look for our bindery video, and you can see for yourself how the Bibles on that table are made. They're made by hand, every one of them, by my children and my grandchildren. Okay? And I've got pastors that have been using these Bibles for 16, 17 years, the same Bible, and it hadn't fell apart.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
His family sounds a lot like our family. His family, his grandchildren make Bibles. My grandchildren eat candy. A lot of it. Now, it's 9:45. Okay, I've got another presentation if you want to hear it. I'm just kidding. I know it's late. We only do this one time a year. Okay? And the information you've received tonight, it's been priceless. Okay? It's been absolutely priceless. Have you been blessed tonight?
Yes.
Amen. On the way out, visit Brother Dennis's table, Brother Chris's table. We have DVDs that are pertinent to what we've been talking about tonight, what I've been talking about tonight, on the table as you leave the door. Come back, be with us tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock. Chris, you going to be with me? Pastor Mike, we've already figured out what we're going to talk about. It's awesome. Okay? You don't want to miss this. I promise you. Okay? Because what I did yesterday, what I read yesterday, if you watched yesterday's program, he thought and he went, oh! They only told you half the truth. Anyway, so tomorrow, 12 o'clock, PastorMikeOnline.com. We'll be together, and then we'll have that posted on YouTube and our website and everything like that. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Reds Kelly is going to be with us tomorrow night as well. Looking forward to that. Brother Dennis, God bless you. I like you. Thank you for coming tonight. Would you lead us in prayer, please, tonight?
Father, we thank you tonight for the words that we heard, for the historical information that's pertinent to what we're doing today. God, I pray you'll continue to bless this feast, bless these folks, and give them the travel.
Amen. God bless you. Go home.